In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Way back in the 1830s, a group of local people formed a congregation on this site, and it was called Trinity Church. The site was located in the midst of a cornfield. However, not too far away were the mansions of the wealthy who had flocked to live in Clinton Hill because the elevation was considered very healthy. Clinton Avenue was considered Millionaire's Row. The cornerstone for a little stone church was laid in June of 1835, and the church was consecrated in April the following year. However, for some reason, the church community did not thrive, and eventually the church was closed and it was sold. The remnant congregation soon joined with other residents who were moving into the area and formed a new congregation, which was incorporated as St. Luke's Protestant Episcopal Church on December the 14th, 1841. On June the 19th, 1842, the Reverend Dr. Jacob Diller became the first rector of this parish. The congregation purchased the old church from Trinity and started the first renovation project in 1853. For at least 180 years, the ground upon which we worship has been consecrated as holy ground. When ground and buildings are consecrated for holy work, they are being set aside for this distinctive purpose, that being a place of worship of God through Jesus Christ and a place from which we go out into the community filled with the Holy Spirit and God's grace to give witness to Christ's love for all people. I've not yet come upon any historic document that tells me the reason why the church was called St. Luke's. But we can make some well-reasoned arguments that it was an appropriate name for a new church in a new community. St. Luke, as we know, is the author of one of the four accounts of the good news of Jesus Christ. He was a contemporary of St. Paul, who referred to him as the beloved physician. Luke was also somewhat of an historian, and it tells us in the opening lines of his work that he intended to write an orderly account for his benefactor, Theophilus, so that he may know the truth concerning the things of which he had been instructed, that is, the life of Jesus Christ. As a physician, Luke would have been more highly educated than the average person, no doubt contributing to his ability to research the life of Jesus Christ and to make sense of it by writing his narrative. The writer of Ecclesiasticus tells us that the skill of a physician makes them distinguished and that their gift of healing comes from the Most High. Luke is also acknowledged as being responsible for writing what is known as the Acts of the Apostles, and both books are seen as a two-volume work. The Acts of the Apostles is an intriguing insight into the early church and how it formed after the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus. He records the leadership of St. Peter and the rise of St. Paul from zealous persecutor to humbled follower of Jesus and later courageous evangelist. The role of the physician in early society is vastly different from today, as is the role of a historian. However, the constant aim of a physician is to help people heal and to overcome their ailments. Luke's profession, if we can call it that, helped inform his interest in healing and his evident acquiescence with and sympathy for the suffering. St. Luke is also seen as the most balanced of the gospel writers, in that he specifically lifts up the role of women and gives emphasis to the birth of John the Baptist and Jesus, and their mothers, Elizabeth and Mary. So St. Luke is a worthy patron of this parish, and has much to teach us about the role of church in community. Since 1835, there's been four consecrations of buildings on this site. In 1882, the main church, which was built on the old church, was consecrated on October the 18th, which is St. Luke's Day. On November the 27th in 1887, the building was largely destroyed by fire. On May the 25th of 1888, the parish hall adjacent to us here in the sanctuary was commenced. It was to be the Sunday school building, but it needed to operate as the church until the main sanctuary was restored. On St Luke's Day in 1891, the renovated church was opened again for service. And again on St Luke's Day in 1896, 5 years later, it was again consecrated for the work of God. However, on March the 9th in 1914, fire again took hold. This time it destroyed the Sunday school hall and the parish hall, and again a part of this sanctuary. On Tuesday, October the 19th, 1915, the fourth consecration service was held after the renovations from the fire. This fraught history is testimony to God's desire that a vibrant house of prayer be sustained on this site, which it has been. The congregations that preceded us certainly dealt with some significant challenges. So here we gather on this Feast of St. Luke to celebrate our patronal saint and to take stock of what God has called us to be in the community today. At the celebration of that fourth consecration service, the Reverend Dr. George Vanderwater preached. And Reverend Vanderwater was the second rector of this parish from 1880 to 1887. And we have a copy of his sermon. His sermon was insightful and pointed, and a reminder to those attending that day of the important work of the church in its community. He said that the sole reason of the church in community is to make the community better. And I think we could wholeheartedly agree with that sentiment. Otherwise, why are we here? Reverend Vanderwater also said that the function of the Christian church is to make people like Christ. And again, I think we can wholeheartedly agree with this. So the question for us today is how to best do this in the dense urban environment where many people prefer to rely on themselves rather than rely on Christ as someone to shape their lives. How do we teach and how do we celebrate the life of Jesus Christ? And how do we become examples of Holy Spirit-filled Christians in this community? As the church, we are called upon to constantly reflect on how we are carrying out these two aims in community. And over the next year, the vestry will be leading conversations with you about this. Who are we in this community? How do we honour our heritage? And how do we understand and then celebrate the future of God's ministry from here? How do we make this community better? And how do we demonstrate to the community the love that Jesus Christ has for them? Next week, as we launch the Year of Stewardship, you will hear more about our plans. If we fail to live out our core purpose and the calling God makes of us, we do risk alienating ourselves from the community in which we serve, and then we become obsolete. The first parish failed, but the second incarnation under the saintly leadership of St. Luke and some very able and faithful people has thrived despite those many setbacks I mentioned. It's a testimony to the courage, the faith, and the stewardship of congregations over these many years. The parish has, of course, evolved and changed over time, especially with the consolidation of parishes into St. Luke's. In 1943, it was the parish of St. Matthew, and together we are called the parish of St. Luke and St. Matthew. In 1993, it was the parish of the Church of St. Michael, St. Mark. And then in 2012, the parishioners from the Church of the Redeemer joined us. We are a stronger parish together, and we can learn much from each other and the resiliency and generosity of our forebears. Reverend Vanderwater commented in his sermon that a church in a city or country, parish church, mission chapel or cathedral, that means nothing to the neighbourhood but a beautiful building in which from time to time is furnished a well-ordered service for those who like it well enough to pay for it. Nothing but a medieval monstrosity, underserving the name of the church. These are strong words, but prescient for us today as we turn our hearts and minds to the work of the Holy Spirit in the days, weeks, months and years ahead. Most come to a Christian faith community to find Jesus Christ, to find healing from broken lives, to find healing and from a loving and supporting community, and to find hope to continue. We all can be physicians like St. Luke in the midst of this busy area, helping to heal the souls of the lost. Together each week we gather to worship God, to give thanks for the life and atoning death of Jesus Christ, and to build community. Will those that cross our threshold day after day find Christ here alive and vibrant? For this, the church is consecrated as holy ground for the holy work that we are called to do. All who cross the threshold into this house of prayer will receive the blessing of God, whether they stay for a moment or for a lifetime. And I leave the final words today to the Reverend Van der Water, 104 years ago after he first uttered them in this building. What mean ye by this service? This, and nothing less than this, that St. Luke's Church is henceforth declared officially to be a consecrated building for consecrated people. Your inheritance among the saints, your obligations to your Saviour, your everlasting happiness, demand that you reconstitute your lives this day to the service of Christ and his church. Let this be our pledge and promise, as we with intention hold the hand to take the bread from the risen Saviour. Henceforth, for me to live is Christ. Amen.